I'm very sorry to tell you, friends, that Mr. John Rosier is too unwell to come to us today with a heavy attack of asthma, and he has been referred to a consultant. But Mr. Adrian Pickett has kindly agreed to preach instead. Now may the Lord remember his dear afflicted servant and remember the one in the pulpit and grant him all the help he needs. Our first hymn is number 395. Behold the throne of grace, the promise calls me near. There Jesus shows his smiling face and waits to answer prayer. Hymn 395.
Let's read together from the Holy Word of God, from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 24. The Gospel according to Matthew, reading chapter 24. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumours of wars, see that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, and pestilences, and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they shall deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Then shall the end come. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east, and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, They shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. There shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if a good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Amen. May the Lord be pleased to bless to our souls the reading of his holy word, and help us as we come before him now in prayer. Lord God, Almighty, thou high and holy one, that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, the great I am that I am. O Lord, help us to approach unto thee now, as we gather together on this weeknight occasion, in thy name, to worship thee. And, O Lord, that we might be found of those true worshippers, who worship God in spirit and in truth and in the beauty of holiness. Oh, would it please thee, Lord, to prepare our hearts, for, Lord, we cannot prepare them ourselves. Or that sin which doth so easily beset us of unbelief, and all the hardness of our hearts, and the backsliding, the carnality, and the worldliness, and so many things which intrude and distract and disturb and hinder and prevent. Oh, what a mercy to have our hearts prepared to receive of thy word. God, if over all thou art greater than my sinful heart, let thy power in me be known. Take away the heart of stone, that heart that doesn't feel anything, and grant, Lord, that heart of flesh that feels. Oh, Lord, and may we feel thy presence here tonight. Lord, may we not plead thy promise that where two or three, a little company, gather together in my name, there am I in the midst. But may it be our prayerful exercise, all to know thee to be present in our midst tonight. Oh, did not our heart burn within us while he walked with us by the way and opened to us the scriptures? Lord, do walk with us by the way this night. Draw near and come by thy spirit and come by thy word. And oh, grant to us that same opening of the scriptures. We thank thee for the scriptures, the sacred scriptures able to make us wise unto salvation. The infallible word of God, that which is faithful and true. Oh, we do thank thee for thy word, that do make it a living word. Oh, Lord, and may it be found, that living word, in our heart. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And we pray for the Spirit's application. And, oh Lord, that we might know thy word applied with divine power and authority and unction. Oh, may it be the entering in of thy words to give life, to give light. O Lord, take a vine, show it unto us. And how the dear psalmist once prayed, and oh, help us also to pray, give me understanding. That right understanding of the word of God. Oh, to have that right understanding of the scriptures. Do not interpretations belong unto God? Oh, teach us, instruct us, oh, grant us, Lord, that knowledge, that we might be made wise unto salvation. Oh, Lord, bless us with a living ministry. Be thou the minister to minister thy word into the hearts of each one. May there be that wrought of God this night, to the honour and glory of thy name. And, O Lord, as we gather here tonight, we would be thankful, we should be thankful for that health and strength granted to us, for journeying mercies to bring us safely here. We would remember those who have been unable to come, who would be here if they could. We would remember one who had engaged to preach this night, but has been laid aside. Lord, remember him and draw near to him.
And oh, would it please thee, Lord, to grant him healing, restoring, strengthening, sanctifying mercies. Oh, Lord, remember him at this time. We pray also, Lord, for others in affliction, and one especially in great affliction. O Lord, draw near, thou art able. And O Lord, do be very gracious, very merciful, full of compassion. O Lord, what grace is needed at times to bow to the will of God. But may grace be given. Remember her dear one and the family. Help them, Lord, at this difficult, distressing time. And may they prove the sufficiency of thy grace, thy loving kindness, thy goodness. Lord, remember others, perhaps also in affliction or sickness or laid aside or poorly. Lord, remember them. Remember any away at this time. Oh Lord, do bless them where they are. Bring them safely back at the appointed time. We would remember those at home with the little ones, and those perhaps caught up in employment. Lord, remember such. Do remember any who could have come, but had no desire to come. Lord, have mercy also upon them. Bless this cause of truth. Maintain it as a cause of truth. And grant those evidences of thy Spirit remaining amongst them here, working in the hearts and lives of many, calling sinners by thy almighty grace, and all bringing souls into that gospel liberty. All blessed with peace and pardon, that faith in the Lord Jesus. Lord, let thy work appear. Remember each one in the regular congregation, from the youngest to the eldest. And, O Lord, do prosper thy word. Help thy servants and minister from time to time, and may they come as sent of God. Remember those in office and responsibilities, and grant much grace. Lord, remember Zion. Remember the churches. Oh, have mercy, Lord. Return with mercies unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. There are many breaches. Where the walls have been broken down, where the little foxes get in. Oh, grant that gracious discernment, Lord, as we have read of those deceivers, those false prophets, those false preachers. O grant gracious discernment, and to remember all thy people. We pray for the Church of God in all nations. And we would especially remember such who are persecuted, beaten, imprisoned, deprived, cut off, isolated, banished. Those who suffer much, Lord, remember them. Would be thankful for the liberties yet bestowed upon us. We have much to be thankful for. How much we take for granted. How often we assume things will yet continue. But Lord, we know not. We're living in a very difficult day. Oh Lord, have mercy. And oh, by thy grace may we be kept faithful. And of those who endure unto the end, who shall be saved. Remember our land and nation. Oh, what can we say? Oh, Lord, have mercy upon us. Still we fear that the people are provoking thee to anger. The abominations, the evils, the wickedness, the idolatry. The promotion of all that is an abomination in the sight of God. And a denial of that which is set forth in the word of God. We yet marvel at thy long-suffering and forbearance against such a wicked, nation is this, Lord? Oh, hear the cries of a little remnant, and spare us yet, we pray. Rule and overrule in all these things. We pray, Lord, that the plague may yet be stayed, but all, Lord, who stem the great tide of sin and iniquity. Oh, Lord, who go before us each in the unknown way, we know not what a day may bring forth. Thou knowest the end from the beginning. Oh Lord, may we be found amongst thy people, and may our whole life, walk, and conversation be as becometh a gospel of Christ, to walk by faith and not by sight, to be found looking unto Jesus, running with patience that race that is set before us. We beg, Lord, for pardon and forgiveness of our every sin. Oh, ever wash us in Jesus' precious blood. Clothe us in his righteousness. And may we be found in him. Now, Lord, do send help. Help us through this service. Glorify thy name. And Lord, make up in giving where we have failed in our asking. But we would ask all in that worthy and precious and all-prevailing name of Jesus. For Jesus' sake alone we ask. Amen.
Our next hymn is number 509. Come, come, my soul, with boldness come unto the throne of grace. There Jesus sits to answer prayer and shows a smiling face. Hymn 509.
Thank you.
is to grant his gracious help. I direct our prayerful attention to the chapter that we read together from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 24, and verse 44. Matthew, chapter 24, verse 44. Therefore, be ye also ready. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Very solemn, searching chapter where the Lord Jesus speaks, answering the questions that his disciples put to him at that time. Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And the Lord Jesus answers, those days of great tribulation, those great days of great distress. He warns the false prophets. He warns that many shall be deceived. He warns that iniquity shall abound, and the love of many shall wax cold. He warns that that day shall come, when the Son of Man, the eternal Son of God, yes, the Lord from heaven, the Lord Jesus, shall return to this earth, but very, very different to when he first came as that little babe at Bethlehem, unperceived by so many. In such humility, meekness. But that coming, he came to save his people from their sins. He came to live that holy life. He came to fulfill the law on their behalf as he wrought out that robe of righteousness. He came to suffer and to shed his own heart's precious blood to make atonement for sin, to bear the sins of his people, to bear the punishment instead, to lay down his life a ransom for many. And he laid down his life, he truly died. But the third day he rose again according to the scriptures, revealing himself unto his own dear people, and then ascending back into heaven. But that day shall come when Christ shall return, and how he speaks of here, they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And that day shall come. The Lord Jesus has said, Scripture declares that that day shall come. Now, whether we shall be alive and living on this earth at that time, at that day, we know not. We know not. But Scripture, whichever speaks the truth and sets forth the truth, so tells us that it is appointed unto men once to die, and then the judgment. And not even the most hardened atheist can deny death. They try to make light of it, they try to speak of false things, the false paradise and so on. They try to deceive many. that we might be found taught of God and taught the truth as set forth in Holy Scripture, that the Lord might grant us that right understanding. It is appointed unto men once to die. And not one of us know the day of our death. That we each were born once, we were born into this world. It was that day of our birth. And yet before us will be the day of our death. And then the judgment. That great, tremendous judgment day. That day of eternal separation, the Lord Jesus also speaks of from the sheep, his sheep, and the goats. Those sheep into everlasting life, heaven. Those goats into everlasting damnation, hell. Now, the vital thing is to be ready. Therefore, be ye also ready. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. And yes, this word may speak of that day when the Lord Jesus shall come. But how vital that we are ready to die. I believe every child of God, by God's grace, through his Spirit, will be ready to die. You see, if we went on to read in the following chapter, we have that parable of the wise and foolish virgins. And there was a separation, there was a distinction. They all were together in the same place. They all professed to love the bridegroom. They were all waiting for him. And yet five of them were wise and five were foolish. The foolish took their lamps, but no oil with them. Nothing to light their lamps. But the wise, according to that wisdom that was given unto them, took oil in their vessels. Spiritually, we would understand it as that oil which was essential, vital, from which there could be no light. It's God's grace. God's grace. And God's grace in the hearts of his people. And where that work of grace has been begun, that work of grace will be maintained. It will continue. And from grace to glory. And every soul blessed with the grace of God in their hearts will be ready. Will be ready. Because the Lord will be working in their hearts, stirring them up, that they will have that great desire to be ready. Rather struck, we read of Noah and the days of Noah. And in Hebrews 11, we read of Noah, but by faith he built that ark to the saving of his soul. And that ark took nigh on 100 years to build. Oh, what a labour it was. All those years he was preparing. All those years he was building that ark. And I'm sure that there were times of opposition, there were times of difficulty, there were times of distress. Times perhaps he felt he couldn't continue, it got to the end, and oh, he felt so discouraged in it all. Oh, will this ark ever be ready? But Noah found grace in the sight of God, and by God's grace, he continued, he endured, he pressed on. The vital thing was to be ready. That flood would come. He believed the word of God. He believed the warning of God's word. And it was vital that he was ready. All those years, if you were laboring to enter into that rest, striving to enter into that gate,
be ye also ready. And I believe the Lord works in the hearts of his people, all that they so desire to be ready. Ready against that day. They so desire to be found with grace in their hearts. They dare not presume. But they long to know, and they long for those evidences that they have found grace in the sight of God. They long for those evidences that their religion is real. It is of the Holy Ghost. How the hymn might append, show me some token, Lord, for good, some token of thy special love. Show me that I am born of God, and that my treasure is above. Or how the Lord will teach all his people that one thing is needful. One thing is needful. We've been taught well, have we been taught that truth? Yes, it is also true that we have many needs in life, many needs. The Lord has promised to supply our every need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And I digress a little, but there may be a great difference between what we think we need and what God sees that we need. Or our wicked hearts, how they covet, how they lust, or how they want what others have. And so, and we think it's a necessity, we think it's needful. And the Lord says, no. It may be that we need chastisement, we need correction. We may think we do not. We need to be humbled under the mighty hand of God. Or at times we need to be constrained, we need to be restrained. Oh, the Lord sees all things that we really need. How often in the pathway of a child of God, for ye have need of patience. And tribulations, sanctified. Working patience. And yet we may feel to be so impatient, we may feel to be fretting and agitated. And therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you. And therefore will the Lord be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. Waiting for him. Oh, our time is always now. But the Lord's time is that perfect time. For ye have need of patience. My soul, wait thou only upon God. For my expectation is from him. But really, one thing is needful. One thing. And the Holy Spirit working in the heart, teaching that truth, will set before that soul the one thing needful, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be our Saviour and our Redeemer, our only hope and our only plea. And how often the Lord teaches his people that truth by first showing them themselves as guilty sinners, lost and ruined in the fall, full of sin, sinful thoughts, sinful words and sinful deeds, made to know something of the plague of their own hearts. The Lord teaching them to confess their sins unto God. Oh, not mere lip confession, but that true confession from a broken heart, a contrite spirit, where there's true humility and there's true contrition, and that soul feels so troubled, so burdened on account of sin, knowing that they have sinned against God, the holy, righteous, pure and just God,
that they have sinned against God, the eternal God, the great God, the true God, the living God, the sin-hating and sin-punishing God. And when brought to consider what punishment is due to the sinner, that God is so holy and so righteous, God cannot look upon sin. The soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. And we live in these awful days when sin is accounted as such a trivial thing, as if they say it doesn't matter. Oh, an eternity of regret, weeping, gnashing of teeth to say that sin doesn't matter. Oh, it matters much to God. And God will punish sin. Either the sinner or the Saviour. Because when the Lord Jesus died at Calvary, there he bore the sins of all his people. Oh, what he endured, what he went through, what he suffered, what agonies, what sorrows we cannot even begin to imagine. I've said this before, but it has been said that those 3 hours of darkness hid from mankind the sufferings of Christ. Oh, it would have been too much to even witness. But to the child of God, by faith, looking unto Jesus, knowing ourselves to be sinners, that is, that we have sinned against God, that the sins are ours, we have committed them, our sins. We are the guilty sinners. Christ was sinless, he never ever sinned. But to know that our sins were laid upon him to suffer in our room, and our place, and our stead. Therefore, be ye also ready to be found in Christ Jesus, believing in him, all through that knowledge of sin, conviction of sin, to be led then to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Saviour of sinners. His name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And every child of God, under the gracious influence and teaching of the Holy Spirit, will be brought to feel their need of the Lord Jesus Christ to save them from all of their sins. Or how they desire to be ready to be found in Christ Jesus. And his precious blood he shed there at Calvary, it cleanseth from all sin. Oh, something very sacred, but very wonderful. And oh, when we feel that abundance of sin, oh, when we feel to be so full of sin, sold under sin, all unholy and unclean, I am nothing else but sin. But oh, by faith to behold that fountain opened for sin and uncleanness, oh, what a fleeing there will be to the Lord Jesus. Again, by faith, to shelter under his blood. Or with that word of promise, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. But oh, many a dear soul longs for that sweet sense of blood brought pardon. To know for sure that our sins are forgiven. For Jesus' sake. Oh, to know that
our sins have been washed away through Jesus' precious blood. As the apostle also writes concerning Christ at Calvary, he put away sin. He put away sin. Therefore, be ye also ready. And as Noah was building that ark, it was by faith that he might be found ready. And every living soul by faith, fleeing from the wrath to come, but fleeing to the Lord Jesus. Oh, is this the language of our hearts? If ever my poor soul be saved, 'tis Christ must be the way. And oh, again, the Holy Spirit, only he can, only God can. We need stripping of all our own self-righteousness, whereby we would justify ourselves to try to bring before God something of the merits of the flesh, something of our work, something of our doing, something which we can offer unto God. Again, I don't know if I've mentioned this here before, but it came to me some time ago to understand something of man's righteousness in the sight of God, nothing but filthy rags. And to see a bride turn up on her wedding day to come before her husband-to-be and all the family and friends present to turn up in filthy rags wouldn't be dreamt of. And yet, man in his own self-righteousness tries to appear before God in his filthy rags, and yet he thinks that his man thinks they're beautiful. Man thinks they're acceptable. Man thinks they're worthy. Just like that man who went to the temple to say his prayer. He justified himself. He thought he was righteous. He thought God was pleased with him. He thought he was a sight to behold. In all his Pharisaical religion, which was ordered of flesh, God saw nothing but filthy rags. Now the Lord in his great mercy will strip his people of every thread of their filthy rags. And that can be very painful. It can be very distressing. Those things upon which we had hoped, those things upon which we had trusted, those things we thought were acceptable, the Lord takes them all away. And he brings them to this, where they're naked, where they're destitute, where they have nothing, where they're being completely empty, completely humbled. But then the Lord in his great mercy sets forth the Lord Jesus and his spotless robe of righteousness. Oh, then to be found clothed upon with Christ's righteousness. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Now it's to be found in Christ Jesus. They said to the Lord Jesus at one time, "Are there few that shall be saved?" And he answered them, "Strive to enter in at the strait gate. For strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way which leadeth unto death, and many are found therein." In life, there are but two ways. The narrow way, the broad way. And it's a very solemn, searching question to ask, which way are we in tonight? Where are we going? And I do believe if our religion is real of the Holy Ghost, at the very least we shall be striving to enter in at the strait gate. The Lord Jesus Christ is the strait gate. I am the door.
If any man enter in, he shall be saved. Oh, to be found in that narrow way, which leadeth unto life, therefore be ye also ready. One of the great temptations of Satan is to hinder, is to prevent, or to try to put in the mind of many, put these thoughts away. It doesn't matter for now. There's many other things to be attended to. You have many other responsibilities and duties in life. You're too busy, you're too young. Or there's other things you need to be taken up with. And again, in this day in which we're living, all the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches and many, many other things that would prevent, even try to prevent the work of God. But the Lord in his great mercy so stirs up the hearts of his people. Yes, all for a time they may, as it were, hinder. Just think of that time of Lot in the city of Sodom. And oh, the Lord is very merciful in not just calling him out, not constraining him out, but compelling him, really under force, out of that city. He must flee. Therefore be ye also ready. And the Lord stirs up the hearts of his people into great concern. Great concern over their never dying souls. Great concern over a never ending eternity. Where shall we spend eternity? And remember, these things are true. And these things are going to happen. One day we shall die. One day we shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Or one day we shall either be found with the sheep at the right hand or the goats on the left. And you see, we know not when that day shall come. Therefore, be ye also ready to be found in Christ Jesus. Another great deceit of Satan is to deceive. And we have here the false prophets, the false preachers, and shall deceive many. So many shall be deceived into thinking that they are right, into thinking that their religion is real, into thinking that they are going to heaven, or into thinking that they shall be saved. Or may the Lord in his great mercy undeceive any who are deceived. Be ye also ready. And again, the great concern of the Lord's dear people will be that great fear of being deceived. Oh, with so many, shall I say, branches of Christianity, and so many different religions, and everyone claiming to be right, everyone claiming to worship God. But real religion is very personal. Used to hear it said a lot, we shall never get to heaven in a crowd. Oh, it's betwixt our soul and Almighty God. And when we consider again in the Word of God that we read that the heart of man is deceitful above all things and so desperately wicked, and we also read that man would rather believe in a lie than the truth. Oh, what great need we have of the Holy Spirit leading us to Christ as the one thing needful. Another verse of a hymn comes to mind, and it's a prayer. We really need much grace to truly pray. Lord, deny me what thou wilt. Only ease me of my guilt. suppliant at thy feet I lie. Give me Christ, or else I die. And does not the Lord stir up the hearts of his people with that great concern that one thing is needful? The Lord Jesus is the one thing needful. Oh, to know him, to be found in him, and to have that sweet assurance that we have found grace in his sight, that we are not deceived. We perhaps long for the Spirit to bear witness with our spirits that we are amongst the children of God. Therefore, be ye also ready. Amongst the people of God. And the Lord has dealings with his people. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. He scourgeth, he correcteth, he humbles, he teaches. And throughout the experience of pathway of every child of God, they shall note something of the Lord's dealings. As the Lord will make sure that his people are ready. And all to be found ready against that great day. The people of God are blessed with faith, a living faith. And by faith they shall watch, therefore watch and pray. Oh, how they shall watch, that is to be alert, to be spiritually alive. Oh, they shall watch for their souls. Yes, at times they, like even the wise virgins here, they slumber and sleep. That is not watching. But I do believe that when the Lord's people come into a lukewarm state, a backsliding state, and begin to slumber and sleep, the Lord sends something into their lives to, if he will, awaken, to stir them up, to bring them back, to cause them to watch, therefore, to be found in great concern. Believe the Lord is nigh on continually dealing with his people. He will not let them settle upon their lees, but will empty them from vessel to vessel. Again, this people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise, being of the salt of the earth, to show the world how Christians live. And one way the child of God should live, in whatever he holds and has in this world, to hold it with a very loose hand. We brought nothing into this world. And it is certain that we can take nothing with us. Therefore, be ye also ready. By nature, born into this world as sinners, we are not ready. And unless and until that work of grace is begun, we have no concern to be ready. Either taken up in the ways of the world, or we presume. We presume because we're strict Baptists. We presume because we go to chapel. We presume because we read our Bibles. We presume because we say our prayers that we are ready. And when things seem to be calm and quiet in our lives, as we continue our lives unconcerned and indifferent. But what a great mercy. When the Lord begins that work of grace, when the Lord brings us into concern over our never-dying selves and a never-ending eternity. Eternity, tremendous sound. Where shall I spend eternity? I do believe, if I may just very briefly speak personally, the Lord perhaps began that work of grace in our heart with that great concern of eternity, that thought of being eternally lost, eternally in hell, where neither hope nor mercy can ever come, of which there shall be no end. Our poor finite minds cannot comprehend, cannot understand an eternity, either past or future, where there's no ending. Forever and ever and ever. And yet that is what we deserve as guilty sinners. But the Lord in great mercy, all to save us, he quickens. He calls by his grace. Oh, he brings that soul into great concern. Oh, to be ready. To be ready to die. To be found in Christ Jesus. There's our only hope and our only plea. You see, it's nothing in self, but it's everything in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, who has done all things well. And to make us ready. Therefore, be ye also ready. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. I remember some years ago having correspondence with somebody religious, so taken up in end time prophecies. And he seemed to even despise me as I showed little interest in these end time prophecies in the way that he was speaking of. Do I believe this? Do I believe that? Do I believe the other? And so on. Ah, the vital thing is to be ready. Oh, ready for eternity. To be, if you will, prepared for heaven. Oh, to be prepared. And that we cannot prepare ourselves. The Lord Jesus speaks of the parable of a sower. And that heart that is prepared, the ground is prepared. And as we know in nature, the ground, it cannot prepare itself. It lays it all it can do, if I can put it in this way, is to produce weeds. And all the soul and heart of man can do is produce sin. But the Lord in his great mercy, oh, ploughing up the heart by the Holy Spirit, overturning all that is of the flesh, all that is of Satan, all that is of this world. That breaking up, that overturning. That his precious word might enter in. And to have that gracious effect. The word of God will have an effect in the hearts and lives of every child of God. And yes, in Scripture there are comforts, there are encouragements, there are directions, there is much teaching and instruction and so on, but also these warnings. And these very, very solemn warnings, may the Lord grant us grace to take heed. Oh, to take heed to these warnings. Oh, may we not be left to make light of them, to think little of them. Or again, another thought Satan puts into the mind of many. Ah, that's not applicable to me. That cannot be for me. But this word surely, in a sense, is applicable to everyone. Therefore, be ye also ready. These foolish virgins, they were not ready. When the bridegroom came, they were not ready. They thought they were ready, but they thought wrong. And when the bridegroom came and they saw that they were not ready, they had to go off. And we read, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. The door was shut. The foolish came later, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered them, verily I say unto you, I know ye not. I know you not. I was rather struck by the second hymn, the last verse. And remember, we're trying to speak of the Lord Jesus being the one thing needful, and as the one thing needful, souls by grace will seek him in hopes of finding him, to be found in him, accepted in him, to be washed from all their sins in his precious blood, clothed upon in his spotless righteousness. Then let us all unite and sing the praises of free grace. Those souls who long to see him now shall surely see his face. Here we see through a glass darkly by faith, but there in heaven face to face. Therefore be ye also ready. And as Noah was all that time seeking to be ready, so by God's grace, every child of God also, in seeking the Lord Jesus to find him, to know him, will also seek to be ready. The vital thing is to be ready. And those foolish virgins, all found to their great cost, they were not ready. Some time ago now, I was called to go to visit an old person diagnosed that there was no cure, nothing could be done. I don't believe I've ever seen somebody so petrified, staring death in the face. This person brought up to attend chapel, the house of God, all their life. Must have heard thousands of sermons. It was very evident, very solemn. They did not feel to be ready. Ready to die. Seemed to come in an hour when they thought not. Although an old person, perhaps had always put off these things and these thoughts and tried not to think about them. But now the hour came, the time came. Oh, we do hope and trust that the Lord was merciful. We do not judge. And we can be, and we should be, prayerfully concerned over our loved ones, over others also. But here the Lord Jesus speaks personally, therefore be ye also ready. It has been said concerning the dying thief, there was only one dying thief, that none might despair. But only one dying thief, that none might presume. Oh, may we not be left to try to put these things off. The old shall die, the young may die, that we all shall die. Therefore be ye also ready. And I'm sure every child of God, having that great concern, cannot rest on anything short, anything less, than to know that they are ready. It may be, if you will, a lifetime seeking to be found already, that great concern day and night to be prepared, to be ready, because of the awful thing of not being ready, the awful thing of being deceived, or the awful thing of finding that we have no grace in our hearts. Oh, may the Lord be very, very merciful. Therefore be ye also ready. Oh, what a great mercy where we have that comfortable hope, that good hope through grace, that we have found grace in the sight of God, that we have that saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus as our Saviour, our Redeemer, that we have found accepted in the Beloved, complete in him, perfect in Christ Jesus, that we are found ready, or when that time shall come,
Well, may the Lord be very merciful. May the Lord work in the hearts of each and every one. Or may there be that stirring up, may there be that great concern. Pause, my soul, and ask the question, art thou ready to meet God? Am I made a real Christian? Washed in the Redeemer's blood, have I union to the church's living head? Therefore, be ye also ready. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh.
God willing, next Lord's Day there will be a reading service in the morning, and Mr. Peter Wilkins will preach in the afternoon at 2:30 instead of the evening service that we had expected. Our closing hymn is 1036. Seek ye my face. The Saviour cries, my soul, where canst thou find supplies but in the Lamb for sinners slain, who has not shed his blood in vain? Hymn 1036.
The grace of the Saviour, and the love of the Father and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all.